This week, a lot of people have been spending time remembering or thinking back to the times of the Great Wars, and particularly of the Second World War, because there are still living veterans from that time. And people were talking about what life was like and what coming back was like. And in the United States in 1945, when the country was beginning to recover from that time of war, a new entertainment show appeared, first of all on radio. It was called House Party, and it was a daytime variety talk show, and it aired on CBS Radio and ABC Radio from January 15th, 1945 to October 13th, 1967. And the show had an equally long run on CBS television as Art Linkletter's House Party. And in its final season, the Linkletter show, it was changed, his name was changed to, and it continued on until 1969. Well, the show is best remembered for a segment called Kids Say the Darndest Things, in which Linkletter interviewed school children between the ages of 5 and 10. It was live. They never knew what was going to come out, hence the title of the segment. Did you know that in that time, during the segment's 27-year run, Linkletter interviewed an estimated 23,000 children? And it was so popular that it was even rehashed by Bill Cosby, 1998 to 2000. But the reason I'm mentioning that is because I came across a great little story. One Sunday, a little girl and her mother were driving home from church, and the little girl turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, there's something about the minister's message this morning I don't understand." The mother said, "Oh, what's that?" And the little girl responded, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are, and he said that God is so big that he can hold the whole world in his hands. We sang that. Is it true?" And Mom said, "Yes, yes it is. That's true, hon. But Mommy," she continues, "he also said that God comes to live inside of us when we believe in Jesus as our Savior. Is that true too?" And again, the mother assured the little girl that what the pastor said was true. The little girl stopped, looked, got a very puzzled look on her face, and she said, "If God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through us?" Kids say the darndest things. If he is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through us? Do people see God when they meet us? I think one of the keys to growing in our faith and becoming the kind of people that sort of exude the presence of God, it just glows and flows out of us. And it should just permeate our very being. One of the fun things to do is to talk to a new grandmother. Because when you talk to a new grandmother, all you have to do is say, "How is your grandson?" or "How is your granddaughter?" And her countenance changes. Her face takes on this glow. She has this incredible smile. Her chest sort of swells out, and she begins to extol the virtues of this new life that is in their family, and the joy that comes from that. That's what David was trying to explain, I believe, in Psalm 145. And listen to the words that he puts into these four tiny verses. "I will extol you. I will bless your name. I will praise your name. I will laud your works, and I will declare your mighty acts." Can you feel the enthusiasm that David had for all the Lord meant to him? You see, the Lord's presence is with us all the time. And he never leaves or forsakes, and he watches over us, he cares for us, he molds us, he shapes us, all these things that we've been talking about in the last few weeks go on a daily basis. Now, David did not always sing praises of the Lord. He did not always extol the Lord. He had his times, his challenging times, in which he could not feel the presence of the Lord, when he felt deserted, when he felt alone, and he would cry out to God and say, "Where are you? Where are you?" But God never moves. God is always there. It was David's vision that was clouded. It was David's attitudes or actions that were keeping him from praising the Lord. Praising the Lord is essential to our Christian walk, to our growing in Him. We have to have that sense that whatever is going on around us, we know that God is in control, and we praise Him for the bigger picture. One of the joys that teachers have is creating learning plans and making short-term and long-term goals. And I've watched Shirley, you know, merrily do this with a great smile on her face. Yeah, Janet, shaking your head. There is no smile on your face when you're doing this exercise. But you have to have a goal. You have to have a plan. The wonderful thing about following our Lord is He has this incredible plan for us. It is a long-range plan. And sometimes we have to go through times when things aren't exactly the way we want them to be, or where we might have trouble seeing the joy in it. But when you praise the Lord, it changes your perspective. Let me give you an example, if I could. I don't know if you know this, but deer love me. It doesn't matter if they're long-tailed or short-tailed deer, it doesn't matter where they are, they just seem to love me, to the point that I have encountered deer with my car 4 times in 12 years. There are people who go through a lifetime and never encounter a deer. I think it all began because I embraced singing. I think it all began because when I was at Ontario Bible College, I joined the choir. And I was in the Christmas Chorale, and we were actually down in this area, I believe, heading towards London on the 401. And all of a sudden, the bus, there were 2 buses. It was a large choir, like 75, 80 voices. And all of a sudden, the bus beside us hit the brakes, and our bus got bang right in the side, and it was a deer. And ever since then, deer discovered me. And they had to wait a few years, you know, but they finally felt it was their moment to make their presence known in my life. The other funny thing about it is, of course, is that 2 times now it has been when I have been returning from Mission Fest. Mission Fest is a celebration that takes place every November in the Middlesex Lambton Huron Association. Through the year, they go to Canadian Baptist Ministries, they get a project, and all of the churches focus on the same project, fundraising, and then they bring their money in on that night, and we see how much we've raised. And every year, they managed to meet or exceed their budget. This year, they had, it was Kenyan Urban Ministries, and they were supporting the work of Kenya to the tune of $27,033 and, wait for it, 33 cents. $27,033.33. But 2 times, returning from there, my car has struck deer. And you could look at that and you could go, "Oh my gosh, it's like I got a cloud over my head. I just don't understand this." Last night, I was driving home and I saw this deer at the last second, and I swerved slightly to the right, and he swerved off the road. I think it's because whoever owned the car before me put those little deer whistles in the front, so it was enough to get the attention of the deer before I got to him. And he turned and I turned, and we just barely glanced one another. And the car was running fine, and I wondered, "Oh my goodness, what kind of damage has come to my car?" And I get home, and I go around the car to look at it, and it had hit the car exactly where I have some damage right now. Exactly where, you know, my son is ordering parts to repair. Nothing was hurt on the car that wasn't already going to be replaced. Now my nerves are a little shaky. Gotta admit it, I'm still tingling a bit this morning, but is that not a marvelous thing that this could happen in this way? It's just one little example. And when you look back over your life, when you consider what's going on, take an inventory of the times when you can remember something special that happened in your life that you know you can attribute to God. God is always there for us. And he changes our life. And he shapes us in ways that are special to him. And to make us more like him. And again, it should come out through us. And part of it begins with this attitude. Do we look to see where God is at work, even when things don't seem to go well? Because scripture tells us that we actually grow through our hard work, through our trials, through our tribulations. It builds in us character traits that make us stronger and better people. No one gets stronger without work. No one gets stronger without challenges. And God puts things into our lives to challenge us and to help us to grow and to become more like him. But then, in the most unexpected times, God continues to work miracles in our lives. God continues to do the most astounding things. Yesterday, before I went to Mission Fest, I was in Arcona for the funeral of a pastor's wife, Mrs. Vivian Waltham. She was the wife of Pastor John Waltham, who was just down the road at Waterford for quite a few years. In fact, Janet, there is a strong possibility that the tuba that you gave me to play, which was manufactured in 1908, I checked that, was probably played by John Waltham Jr., who is about 74 right now. It's the same tuba. Isn't that amazing? But Mrs. Waltham lived to be 105 and was this great witness for all that God can do in someone's life. She was just a joy to be around. Tremendous person. And it was so much fun to look back at her life. And people would talk about the ways in which God had blessed her through the years. And absolutely a fun thing to do, to be there. It was a celebration, not a time of sorrow. But when I was there, our pianist from Arcona, a lady I've known for quite a few years, came running up and she hugged me and she said, "Brian, I've just got to tell you this. I've got to tell you this. Did you hear about my daughter, Lynn?" I said, "No, Barb, I didn't hear anything about Lynn." She said, "Well, Lynn had a heart transplant this year." I said, "Really? I would never have thought that." Lynn, she was a rake. She was, you think heart attacks, you tend to think of bigger guys, you know. But no, she was in a complete heart transplant. And why do I mention that? Because when she got so sick, they had to rush her into the hospital. They took her in. They began the tests. She went in on July the 18th for her tests. On July the 21st, they had her heart. 3 days. That does not happen. That is so incredibly rare, almost impossible to imagine, but it happened. God doesn't bring those kind of miracles to each and every one of us, but God has the capacity to bring miracles into our lives, and he continues to do so, be they little or be they small. And so we, like David, feel the praise of God in our hearts, but it can't stay in our hearts. Praise is not praise if you hold it in. Praise is a praise only when you let it out. And so David uses words like extol, bless, praise, laud, declare. Extol, it begins with, declare, it ends with. Get it out there. You've got to be able to articulate your faith to others. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." And we often focus on the latter part of this great expanse. But the important word to focus on this morning is the word witness. A witness has to have seen or encountered in order to tell. Otherwise, you are an observer. But to be a true witness, that you have to have seen or experienced something personally. It has to be personal. People get a little nervous about the word witness. They think back to the days of the four spiritual laws and cold calling and running up to strangers and saying, "Have you been saved? Have you heard?" Jesus called us rather to be witnesses, to talk about our own personal experiences, the things that we have gone through, the things that we can talk about faithfully. That we can say, "I know it is true because it's worked for me." Corporations pay millions to celebrity endorsers for them to say those very words. "I put this cream on my face and I went from looking 65 to 22. Where do you get that cream? You know, "I've driven this car, it brings me great joy. I've used this, it's been reliable. I've used this, the results are fantastic." Endorsements come from those who have truly used them, true endorsements. And one of my heroes was Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, and he would never endorse any product until he had used it himself. He never made it up. He used it, he tried it, he tested it, and then when he was sure it was worth endorsing, then he would endorse it. We have someone in our lives who is so worthy of our endorsement. He is far more than worthy of our endorsement. Do we extol? Do we bless? Do we praise? Do we laud? Do we declare? Are we like King David, where we just can't hold it in? Now, I'm not suggesting that like King David, you shed most of your clothes and dance in front of a parade for the Lord. That might not be effective. But living it out and speaking it out does work. It is good for you because it allows you to articulate what you believe, to put it into words, to say it. Think back to your dating days. Think back to the first person who was extraordinarily special to you. Think of the angst that went through you as you prepared to say three little words. Three little words. "I love you." And it's always interesting to see who says it first. I truly believe, that the numbers will bear out that it's usually the lady, the woman, the girl who says it first. Guys tend to hold back a bit. Guys set up all these conditions in their mind before they're going to say it, and they try to rationalize, "Well, what's it going to mean? Where's this going to take me? What's going to happen next?" Women speak, they're more likely to speak from the heart and say, "Whew, I love you." Well, where'd that come from? To be able to declare it changes everything. To be able to declare it is a monumental moment in your relationship when you declare. That's why it's important for us to declare the Lord. We can begin in a safe place. We can begin here. We can speak to one another about how much God means in our lives, what he's been doing in our lives, what's happened in our lives where we have really felt the presence of God. I grew up in a very evangelical church, and they used to have what they called testimony meetings, and people would get up one after the other and talk about what the Lord has done. But sometimes there were those Sundays where the Salvation Army officer, the minister, would just be looking anxiously with somebody, "Please say something." And I thought that was always so sad. That troubled me, that you'd have to wait. Surely there's something that's happened in your life in a seven-day cycle where God has blessed you in even the tiniest way. When you share it, when you declare it, it just warms your heart. And then, here comes the challenging part. When we move outside of our circle and begin to express ourselves to others, the most important thing in talking to people about the Lord is let it be natural. Let it be natural. Let it just sort of come out of you. It has to. You can't force it, because if you force it out, it sounds forced. That's logical, is it not? If you force it out, it's going to sound forced. It will happen. And it happens often because people get curious about the way you are behaving. Our greatest witness, I really believe, happens without the use of words. It happens in the way we approach people, the way we accept people, the way we reach out to help people. It happens in the way we respond to the circumstances of life around us. It happens in the way that we can smile regardless of what's going on around us, that people can see a calm and a peace about us. We can't always smile through trials and tribulations, but we can exhibit peace. We can be the one that remains calm. I remember a little snippet of a poem from when I was in elementary school. If you can keep your head when all about around you are losing theirs. If you can be the person who stays calm. We should be able to stay calm because we have the peace of God. In Philippians, it's described as the peace of God which passes all understanding and guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This is a gift from God. We have to seek God's peace every day. We have to ask God to keep us calm through the circumstances that will take place in our lives each day. I'm not sure how exactly everyone sees me and when I talk to people, what they think of me. But often they think because I have a deeper voice and a calm demeanor that I am a level person. Inside, I can guarantee you, it's ups and downs, it's crests and troughs, and I have been endowed with my father's quick temper. You might not know that because I fight it. I work against it. I try to control it because I remember what it was like for me. And I realized as I went through life that snapping at somebody accomplishes nothing, or it accomplishes things in the wrong direction. One or the other. You can stay calm and you can think it out. It makes all the difference. Scripture tells us that when we are calm with people, we have that effect upon people, that we become a calming influence, that we become the peacemakers. It's not easy to be that person. But Scripture also tells us that the Spirit gives us strength inside ourselves so that we can become that person. When Paul was writing to Timothy, in the passage that was read for us this morning, he said it's very important to proclaim the message and to be persistent. Let me add to persistent, consistent. If you are persistent and consistent, you are going to begin to have an effect on people. You begin to wear them down. I remember when I graduated from McMaster Divinity College. We're the only college in McMaster University that's small enough to actually hold our graduations in Convocation Hall. And so we went to Convocation Hall, and you begin to walk up the stone steps. And they are the strangest steps because they actually have a dip in the middle of each step. Do you know how they got a dip in the middle of each step? Hundreds of students, thousands of students, year after year, walking up or down those steps, wore down even the granite of the steps. God wants us to be persistent and consistent in what we do so that we can then convince. You see, it's very convincing when you can see evidence. It's convincing when you can see the presence of God in the person who's talking to you. And so it's natural that we would become convincers. And then, of course, there, it says rebuke. Now, this is an interesting word. We talked about it once already. It's not negative in the sense that we think a rebuke is telling somebody off. Rebuke is the ability to defend your position. And that includes then that you must listen carefully to the other person's position. I think that we grow when we listen to others and actually look for the strength in what they have to say rather than just the negative of it, and see if we can find that area where there is peace. Rebuke for me is the invitation to discussion. The invitation to discussion. That's what it means. It means to banter it back and forth. Discussion is really important. It's important that we listen, that we learn, and that we share so someone else can learn. And finally, to encourage. People need encouragement. It's really easy to find a negative response in this world. It's really easy to have your ideas put down or to listen to those things. Every one of us knows someone who is willing to put a cloud over every silver lining. But to be the person who points out the silver lining, that's so important. To be encouragers, we all need to be encouraged. We all need to have that person who is saying, this will get better, this can get better, you are above this, you can do this. To truly witness, you have to praise. And to truly praise, you have to witness.